Has God been a blessing in your life this year? Do you have food in your kitchen and a warm blanket at night to snuggle under? Today on Scandia Bible Church Podcast, Elder Keith Barker teaches that even in the midst of the challenges that many folks have faced this year of 2012, King David reminds us to forget none of our Lord's benefits. And welcome to the Scandia Bible Church Podcast for Sunday, November 25th. 2012. We'd like to invite you to visit our website at scandiabiblechurch.org, where you can learn more about us, access past sermons, and can obtain the sermon notes for today's message. And now, let's join Keith Barker as he delivers his message entitled, Thanksgiving.
We're going to be in Psalms 103 today. That's page 437 in the hymn book. Not in the hymn book, Keith. That would be in the pew Bible, so... How was your Thanksgiving? We're going to talk about Thanksgiving today. The other day I was, as I often reference, sitting in my chair there in my big room upstairs, and I took my binoculars because I saw something out there floating. I thought, what is that? And I saw a cormorant. Children, you know what a cormorant is? It's like a duck. They're black. They have a long neck. They're fantastic fishermen. So as I dialed in on this cormorant, I thought, wow, that's a big fish. I've seen cormorants with fish in their mouth before. This guy, this was a trophy fish he got. He got it right across the back like that, and it's flapping on both ends. And I thought, well, now what are you going to do with it? And of course, God has given them the amazing ability to flip that around until he's got the head in his mouth. And then he's got all his fish hanging out. This is not going to work because his neck's only so big around. Little did the fish know he was working against himself, because the fish kept going like this, and the cormorant kept going like that, and gradually, bloop, 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 until there's just tail sticking out, bloop, 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 a couple more swallows, and gloop, down went that big fish. I mean, they must have an elastic neck. And then the funny thing is, as soon as that fish hit bottom, that little cormorant started going back and forth really quick, wiggling his tail. He's got a live fish within him. If I was that cormorant, I'd have paddled over to the shore, waddled up to a sandy place, sat down and said, that's it. No more fish till the end of December. I'm covered. He was full. Now, I tell you that story because I know exactly how that cormorant felt. You see, Artis invited me over to her house for Thanksgiving. She had a house full there. We ate a wonderful meal. The girl can cook. And I'm thinking like the cormorant, I can't believe. I probably shouldn't have. And then she says, who wants pie? No pie. No. No pie. So, well, I trust you had a good Thanksgiving. Well, are you thankful? Someone said, if you can't be satisfied with what you've received, be thankful for what you have escaped. Or you may want to look at it this way. Compare what you want with what you have, and you'll be unhappy. Compare what you deserve with what you have, and you'll be happy. Every day should be Thanksgiving Day. So that's why one day of the year is designated as Thanksgiving. Sad story to remember our history here. The pilgrims came to America to make a home in the wilderness, and they came to this country looking for freedom of worship according to the dictates of their own conscience. It was 1609. Approximately 300 colonists arrived in Jamestown that winter because of the food supplies and disease. 80% of them died of either primarily starvation, but also disease. 80% of the 300 people. What's that, about 240? Think of what a hard winter that was. And of those that lived, of course, they weren't fat. In 1620, 11 years later, 102 pilgrims boarded the Mayflower and spent 3 months getting across the Atlantic. That would be torture. You'd think you were ready to die by the time they got to Plymouth. Within the first year, half of them had died. Boy, it was tough, folks. In 1621, they had their first harvest. They dedicated 3 days for a Thanksgiving feast to give God glory. They had come through so much. So at Plymouth, Massachusetts, in the fall of 1621, a little handful of devoted people, in the midst of many perils and great hardships, set apart a day for thanksgiving to God. And on that day, they feasted and gave thanks to God. Every person who has a grateful heart should thank God for his blessings. Actually, Thanksgiving Day should be simply the day that gets us in the mood to be thankful throughout the year. We in this country are so wonderfully blessed. David the psalmist wrote, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalms 34:1. And again he said, my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Psalms 35:28. So how fitting it is that we should praise the God of heaven. If praise should be continually in the mouth of David, if David's tongue talked of God's righteousness all day long, then surely we, as born-again believers in this age and under the blessings that we rejoice in, should be praising God continually. Let's pause and go before God in prayer for this time. Lord Jesus, as I reflect again on what we call the pilgrims, those first couple of seasons, my, oh my, what a difficult time. There was no 911 they could call. I'm sure there were many prayers. Oh God, hear our prayer. And this morning I ask that you'll hear our prayer of praise for your blessing upon us. Bless this time, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen. Psalms 103 we're at this morning. Moved by the Spirit of God, David exalted the Lord. And I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 there in Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Now, there are five things in this passage of Scripture which should prompt us to give thanksgiving to God. And we're going to touch on those five things this morning. The first reason, thank him for forgiveness. Look at verse 2 and into 3a. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who forgives all your sins. The greatest blessing that God has ever given to a human being is the forgiveness of sin. Meditate on that. And for those listening in the podcast, this is the very reason that God gave his son to forgive our sins, to save our poor souls. It's for this cause that Jesus came into the world. The apostle Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. Jesus also said plainly, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost in Luke 19:10. And oh, what a blessing to have our sin forgiven. Dr. Johnny Hunt is a pastor of a First Baptist church. And he gives his testimony and he calls his names that sermon From Pool Room to the Pulpit. As a boy, he got in with the wrong crowd, with a drinking crowd, those that like to party, sank deeper and deeper in sin. But eventually, Johnny Hunt, now Dr. Johnny Hunt, as a young man, by the grace of God, he explains, the Holy Spirit got hold of me. In that message, he talks about how wonderful it is to be saved, how glorious it is to be a child of God, how marvelous it is to have your name written in the Lamb Book of Life. And I suspect the testimony of Dr. Johnny Hunt is not that dissimilar to many of us sitting here in the walls of the church. God has brought us through some tough times for no reason of our own. He said, yes, you're my child. There at the foot of the cross, we surrender ourselves to him. King David also knew this blessing. If you don't believe it, just read through Psalm 51. David knew what sin was, how it burned, how it hurt, how it condemned. He could say, my sin is ever before me. He could plead heartbroken for the cleansing of his heart, for the renewal of a right spirit. David knew what it was to confess his sin with a broken heart. He also knew what it was to praise God for forgiveness. I would that every Christian at this Thanksgiving season would stop and remind themselves how great is the blessing of forgiveness and salvation. The second reason to be thankful, in Psalms 103, we thank him for his healing. The psalm's been called David's Hallelujah Chorus. And the second thing in David's list of blessing is the healing of the body. He cried out with everything within him to praise God for this benefit and to bless the Lord who healeth all thy diseases. Verse 3. And my, that verse has been misused and abused, stretched and misapplied. But nevertheless, there it is. Do I believe in divine healing? Absolutely. I believe that all healing, all true healing is from God. And sometimes God will heal through doctors. Sometimes God will heal apart from doctors. Sometimes God will heal through medicine, and sometimes God will heal without medicine. The Norwegian theologian Ole Halsby said we should pray something like this. Lord, if it will be for your glory, heal suddenly. I wish I could do this with a Norwegian accent, but oh well. If it will glorify you more, heal gradually. If it will glorify you even more, may your servant remain sick a while. And if it will glorify your name still more, take me to yourself in heaven. So we look to God and humbly accept his plan and his timing. It's always perfect and always for his glory. President Obama was asked a few months ago if he could have any ability, what would it be? And he said, oh, the ability to understand languages. And if you were the president of the United States, the ability to understand all languages would be a definite plus. If God asked me, what ability do you want? Without hesitation, I would say the gift of healing. And if he gave me that gift, I would spend all of my days going from children's hospital to children's hospital. What better use of my time? Dr. Diane Comp is a pediatric oncologist who teaches and practices at Yale University School of Medicine. And she tells about attending a medical conference where physicians of different disciplines exchanged ideas on difficult tumor cases. And the case at hand was that of baby Bethany, whose tumor had broken all the rules. Are you sure you had the right diagnosis? Asked the radiotherapist of the pathologist. Because I've never seen this particular tumor respond that way. You must be wrong. No, I'm not wrong, responded the somewhat indignant pathologist. I know that tumor when I see it. The radiotherapist, looking elsewhere for an explanation of the unexplainable, turned to the chemotherapist who was managing the case. That chemotherapy must have done the job. Don't look over here for the explanation, he explained. We only use a radiosensitizing dose. Besides, the tumor was growing through the last course of different drugs. Are you sure it wasn't the radiotherapy that did the job? No way. This type of tumor has never gone away like that before, he turned, half joking, to the radiologist who had interpreted the scans. Are you sure you have the right films? Yes, they're the right x-rays. You can tell from the comparison to the old ones that it's the same child, only the tumor is gone. It doesn't make sense, the radiotherapist kept repeating. The minutes of that conference simply reflect the lack of a known medical explanation for the disappearance of the tumor in little baby Bethany. The medical records show the medical records did not reflect other activities on behalf of this little girl. Teams from the local church fasted and prayed daily for little Bethany. Many other family friends prayed for her tumor to go away. And what could have been explained through medical science could be explained by the healing power of an omnipotent God. So when you count your blessings, be sure to thank God for his sustaining care and his overshadowing wings of protection. The sovereignty of God. God will do it in his time and in his way. Our third reason to thank God from this first section of Psalm 103, thank him that he preserves our lives from death. Look in verse 4a. I read, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. God preserves our lives day by day. We hear the terrible automobile wrecks. So dangerous out there on the road, folks. Stay alert. We make it too much a matter of course rather than a blessing of God that today we are not in a big box on our way to Mountain View Cemetery. Life is a gift of God, moment by moment. Every beat of your heart is a gift of God. There's a wonderful teaching in Scripture that the angels of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear him and delivereth them. That's Psalms 34:7. And I believe that God's guardian angels protect us every day. And of the angels, we're told in Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I believe that God has a time for each Christian to die. I think when you're born, he knows the exact number of your heartbeats until you approach that last one. I do not believe that Satan can bring anyone to death without God's consent. God has saved me in my life a half a dozen times from death that I know of, and probably many that I'm not aware of. And I believe that Satan so hates us that he would destroy every Christian if it was possible. Did he not hate Jesus? Did he not put in the heart of Herod to kill all the babies under the age of 2 years? Did he not put it in the heart of the Pharisees again and again to try to stone Jesus? Did he not stir up the people of Nazareth to try to throw Jesus off a cliff? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was sorrowful. It said, even unto death. And I believe that Satan would have had him die there at the wrong time and in the wrong place had not Jesus prayed and had his prayers answered. His life was spared until the next day when he could die in the will of God. And Satan, who hated Jesus, hates every one of us who love the Lord. Satan would delight to have a flu epidemic or some other disease kill thousands of people, and it's happened in history. He would delight to have a nuclear bomb kill millions, including God's saints. But the Bible says that God redeems our lives from destruction. The Bible says it is his mercies that we are not consumed. Last week, as I closed my message on Nineveh, I talked about various ways that God could turn North America into somewhat of a wasteland. We should earnestly thank God that his care never ceases. We sleep, we work, we play with never a thought that all about us are protecting angels, a heavenly host. They are all around those who fear the Lord. Perhaps some of you saw the movie Guarding Test. It was all about the Secret Service guarding and protecting the wife of a former president. She spent most of her time trying to evade those whose job it was to guarantee your safety. The Secret Service is usually appreciated by those it protects, but on occasion, it's resented. But we as believers don't have that problem, even though a bodyguard is with us 24 hours a day. He's not the kind who causes irritation and resentment. Our guardian angel. He isn't just another human being. Rather, he's that special messenger from God, and that is protection at its best. We should have no complaints, folks. It's comforting to know that the angel of the Lord is near at hand, and for that, we should be continually grateful. Our fourth reason to thank the Lord is for his loving kindness and tender mercies. Look at verse 4. I read, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. It's amazingly clear as we really begin to count our blessings that all of the great blessings are beyond price, greater than money can buy. You may thank God for whatever prosperity he's given you, but I assure you that money and property are not the greatest blessings. And they're not even named here in the five most wonderful blessings that we're finding in the first verses of 103. He has something far greater than happiness and welfare, far greater for our happiness and wealth, far greater for our... Should I just skip that sentence? It's not that difficult, Keith. God has something far greater for our happiness and welfare than wealth. Look at verse 4. In the King James it reads, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Do we really have any idea what loving kindness and tender mercies are? They're lovely words. It could be any number of things. But we need to often stop and be silent and just think about what God has given us. Sandra Allridge writes, during one of my oh, poor little old me times, as I scrambled to keep up with all my responsibilities as wife of the chairman of the deacon board and mother of two toddlers, I visited a Mrs. Kennedy, an elderly Scottish friend in a convalescent home. Sitting with her under a beautiful Michigan maple tree was the most relaxing activity I've had in weeks. But as she asked about my schedule, I lamented my endless activities. And when my litany was finished, Mrs. Kennedy quietly said in her beautiful, thick Scottish brogue, ye have a good man and two bonny babies, and ye don't even know you're living. Sometimes our schedules get so busy, our frantic pace keeps us from counting our blessings. We're so busy throwing dust in the air, and then we wonder why we can't see. And God says, be still and know that I am God. God has flooded my life with loving kindness and tender mercies. And by God's blessing, I'm in a position to extend hospitality on my property there to three friends to give them a helping hand. And now nearly in my 70th year, I'm still in good health. I have electric ears and plastic eyes and metal in my teeth, but the whole thing keeps working one day at a time. I count my blessings. I know that I need to more often express my gratitude to God. I pray that we can each see his continual hand of blessing on our lives. And at this Thanksgiving season, every man who has the love of a good wife needs to praise God for that crowning joy in your life. Now, the final thing that we want to consider here, our fifth point, reason for being thankful, thank him for satisfying our mouth with good things. I believe some Christians consider themselves altogether spiritual to pay much attention to the blessings of food. But folks, here in this country, we are so wonderfully blessed. My cousin, now deceased, went to Russia and married a Russian lady who was a college professor there and brought her over to Los Angeles. After she'd been here a while, she wanted to bring her lady friend from Russia over to visit the United States. And so they picked her up at LAX. And the very first thing she wanted to show her friend from Russia, the first place they stopped, this was 20 years ago, was a supermarket. She wanted to walk her through the supermarket and look at the meat here, and we can buy as much as we want. Look at the produce. They have 50 different kinds of cereal here. Folks, we take all that for granted. When my cousin's wife sent her friend back to Russia, My cousin's wife's dad had a dog that he loved, packed in the suitcase to go back to Russia, were some cans of American dog food. Show my dad what Americans feed their animals. This morning, Ranger Cat had beef chunks and gravy. It even looked good to me. Today, there are children in North Korea that are starving to death. In this country, malnutrition exists. Folks, we need to be a lot more thankful than we are. It's altogether proper at Thanksgiving to have a feast of turkey dressings, cranberry sauce, and pumpkin pie, especially at Artis's house. But I think as Christians receive these meals, we need to show great gratitude to God. One of the greatest expressions of gratitude I've experienced in my life, I was working at Park of the Pines, a Christian conference center over in Kent. One day I was walking downtown. There was a rose bush there on the conference grounds. I picked a rose just because roses are beautiful. I had it in my hand, and I got down. I was going to the drugstore to buy who knows what. I walked in the drugstore. There was only three of us in there, the druggist, his daughter, who was about 18, and myself. And having this beautiful rose, I gave it to this girl. Goodness, she threw her arms around. I don't know this girl. Threw her arms around my neck like I'd done something fantastic. I thought, you know, your dad's right there. I mean, I'm not sure this is the right thing we should be doing here. There's something about giving a flower to a girl that I'll probably never be fully understand it. It's a girl thing, I guess. But that's how she showed her gratitude. And folks, we should be throwing our arms around the Lord a lot more than we do. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the gift of another day. It's fitting that with bowed heads and reverent hearts, we thank the Lord for the food that he supplies. But of course, the food that he supplies is simply symbolic of all the good things that God gives us. Indeed, he is Jehovah Jireh, the God who supplies our every need. Let me conclude with this story. During the Vietnam War, two fine Christian parents in Kansas received word that their son had been killed in Vietnam. It was a difficult experience to go through because the boy was only 19 years old. However, they decided that they would honor the memory of their son by giving a sizable check to their church. Sometime later, the pastor of the church was telling about how the check had relieved some of the financial difficulties that the church was experiencing. There was another mother in the congregation who whispered to her husband, and she said, "Let's give a sizable check for our boy." The husband said, "What are you talking about? Our boy didn't lose his life in Vietnam." And the wife said, "Oh, that's just the point. Let's give it an expression of our gratitude to God for sparing his life." George Herbert prayed, "Our Father, O Father, thou hast given us so much. Do please give us one more thing, grateful hearts." Dear folks, that's what we need today, a grateful heart that will be filled with overflowing, with thanksgiving, a heart that will not cease to express thanks to God and to others all through the year. Let's close in prayer. Lord, as we look at your blessings and compare it with so many in the world, we don't consider ourselves wealthy, but certainly here in this great country and in this beautiful corner in Kitsap County, your blessing flow upon us. And of course, for our congregation is always the miracle of each of our blessed children. And so, in this Thanksgiving season, give us grateful hearts and accept our thanks in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, that wraps up our sermon for this week. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line through our contact page on scandiabiblechurch.org and let us know where you're listening from. and how our church family can pray for you. Scandia Bible Church is located in the beautiful Northwest in Paulsboro, Washington. If you ever find yourself in our area, we'd love to meet you. So until next week, for all of us here at Scandia Bible Church, may God richly bless you.